he said the ISIS call, as well as that of other terrorist
groups.
What's
that? Like, woo-woo!
That's where they got me. That's where
my ISIS call.
The ISIS call. That's why my head snapped. What is the
what
ISIS
is the call of ISIS? That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's a loon for us for some reason. My loon was more drunk than hers, but still.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
I have a bunch of different things. Let's just get right into it.
All right.
I'm going to go ahead and kick off with some legal hikey.
All right.
This was not sent in by my husband, Greg, who is an attorney. But
that's a surprise to me.
I found it on one of his websites, the ABA Journal. It says here, and this is something we can all understand, lawyer is suspended for 2 years over wine shoplifting incident.
What?
And the way he handled it. So apparently there's a way in which one could handle the incident.
I don't like the way you handled your shoplifting.
Yes, you're suspended. So it says here, an attorney was admitted to a diversion program after being criminally charged in a supermarket wine shoplifting incident. His name was Roger Moore.
Oh, that's sweet. No. And he couldn't pull it off?
He couldn't pull it off.
Oh.
Raise right eyebrow, lift left. Okay. So Roger Moore was suspended from practice for 2 years by the Ohio Supreme Court over the incident, in part because he was determined to be untruthful and uncooperative.
Determined?
When they asked him about it. I don't know if he made it. If he was actually uncooperative, he was determined to be so. Listen to this. This is a jackass move. He more used UPC codes that he brought into a store. So he brought his own UPC stores into a Kroger, UPC codes into a Kroger store in Cincinnati to reduce by $359 the price of 3 bottles of wine.
How much was the wine? In a Kroger's?
He reduced it by $359.
I didn't know that they put
three
stuff
bottles
like that
of wine either. Maybe in Ohio they have like, you know, larger selection of wines. Who knows? So he did it at a self-scan checkout. So he pulled out of his pocket some UPC, you know, classy like, real quiet like.
Yeah.
Scanned those. I don't know how they caught him, but I feel like
I don't know how they caught him either because
people think those machines don't do anything. But like, you don't know what they do.
Yeah.
You don't know that they can't tell like, hey, we don't even have that.
Yeah.
Or that scan code is from something completely different. So he's at the self-scan checkout. They also criticized him for failing to acknowledge that he had tried to shoplift wine back in 01. This guy, he's on a bender.
You did this in 01. No, I didn't.
Yeah. So it was a legal ethics case. And, you know, basically they're saying that he'd acted as character witnesses and all this kind of stuff. It's like, forget it. This guy's a bum. So basically, I looked at some other articles. It doesn't have anything. He refused to give a statement about it. But basically, this guy just pulled, like, you know, when we were kids, you could take the sticker off something. This is before everything had UPC codes. You could take the sticker off, like, a nice apple.
Right, and put it on.
You know, and put it on something nicer. Have,
yeah.
But, yeah, so he tried to get away with 3 bottles of wine. It's like, this is not even an emergency. I guess the guy was, like, desperate. He was just getting a 6-pack of Bud Light.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, it had a rough day. He was broke. He lost everything. His wife left him. His dog ran off. He's got child support payments, and he's just down.
He just wanted to rip him off.
Is 3 bottles of wine that cost more than $350 already. Three bottles.
It's like, then, you know what? You better step up your job if you can't afford the $350.
Yeah. Or how about get the boons?
Yeah.
Did you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if there are times in
a box.
That we all want champagne.
Yeah.
We can't always have it. Sometimes we get champagne. It's okay. Do you know what I mean? It's all right. Like, we want Chateau Lafite.
You're still okay as a person.
Yeah, sometimes we go with, you know, just the red, yellow tail.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
You know? So, legal news. Like, actually, don't shoplift your wine using UPC codes from something. I wonder if they were from, like, items that weren't wine, the UPC code.
Probably.
There's
probably,
like, really, we don't even sell shoes.
They have the weight of the product. So when you scan it, you know, you have to take it
and put it in a bag.
It weighs it. So it's like, I don't even know what the weight is.
So, yeah, Roger Moore. Way to go, yeah. What a schmuck. All right, what do you have?
I have here. Listener mail.
Awesome. So if you send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com, we will read your email on the air. And we'll thank you.
Right.
Profusely. Thank you.
Yes.
That's profusely for me.
This email is titled Unpopular Science, and it was from Grace.
Nice. So Unpopular Science is a segment that we do where, you know, Katie and I are freaked out by the coming robo-apocalypse.
Yes, it's here, basically.
Yeah, we want to be prepared for our robot overlords. And by prepared, I mean ready to strike back.
Yeah, it's happening, 2015. So Grace writes, hey, ladies, hope everything is going well. So far,
we haven't been attacked.
Yeah, I love the show. I wasn't worried about robots as much as zombies. Then this happened.
Have a great day. She was more concerned about the zombies. Yeah, okay. Right.
But now this has happened, and she have a great day, Grace. Okay, yeah. Grace.
We all have to have a fear.
So there was a link to an article called Google AI Chatbot Threatens Human Master.
What?
Yes, there is a robot that threatened its human master.
Like, we're already, like, you better brace yourself.
Yeah, right.
Like that kind of threat? Or like, I'm going to come to your house?
Like, I guess they're talking.
Okay.
AI just got threatening, artificial intelligence. A chatbot has learned how to hold a conversation by analyzing millions of movie scripts.
Okay.
Allowing it to muse on the meaning of life, the color of blood, morality, and even get angry with its human inquisitor.
I just wanted to preempt you and say that I have the conversation and we're going to act it out. That's our dramatic reading.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh. The project was developed by Google, Google researchers, and the system used a neural network, a collection of machines arranged to mimic the human brain to create an unnerving human response.
Unnerving?
Yeah.
I don't feel unnerved by your human brain and the responses that it creates to what I'm saying. That's not unnerving.
Well, apparently it is.
I call it a conversation.
So they had, the human asked the question, are you a man or a woman? Machine's like, I'm a woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Angelique.
Yeah. You know, why are we here? I'm not sure. Says the robot. It's like, come on, if you're a robot, come up with something.
That's legitimate. Why am I here? I mean, what do you want? Do you want me to go into how robots are made, my friend? Brace yourself.
It's just here's another conversation about Star Wars and presidents.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Who is a Skywalker? Machine says.
Is it only little boys that we're talking to this robot?
I know, right?
Who would win between a megalodon and T-Rex?
Yeah. Well, obviously. Who is a Skywalker? He is a hero. Who is Bill Clinton? He is a billionaire.
Wow. Is he a billionaire?
I don't know.
I don't think that's right. I think he's a millionaire.
What is the color of blood? And the machine says,
it's your mama.
The same as a black eye.
Wow. Really? I don't like... See, this is... We were just talking about robots with a gentleman from Phase Off, and he assured us that they would be nice.
Yeah, well...
And now we have this.
Yeah.
Well, since you have that, I want to go right into a dramatic reading.
Yes.
Starting Katie and Jaquetta.
That's right. But thank you, Grace, very
much. Thank you, Grace. And that was a perfect accompaniment to this. Grace is reading my robot mind.
Yeah.
So this is from the Wall Street Journal, My Onion, and it's artificial intelligence machine gets testy with a programmer. So as you said, Google is using, robots are learning from movie scripts. I don't know what movie scripts these are. I hope it's not Alfred Hitchcock and like David Cronenberg.
Right.
Okay. So this is the conversation between the human and the machine. Which part would you like to play?
We can do both. You tell me what I'm
going to do. Okay, pick one. All right. So Katie and I are going to do a dramatic reading. Katie is the human.
I'll be the human. Yay.
And I am the machine.
All right.
And the setting is Katie's a human and I'm a machine.
Okay. And so there we are. It's just a day like any other day.
Yeah. You know, when you're hanging out with your machine or your human.
Yeah. So tell me the definition of morality.
I don't have ethics.
Look, I need help. I need to know more about morality.
Well, I don't know what ethics is.
Okay. I need you to know how I should behave morally.
I don't know how to tell you.
Is morality and ethics the same?
Yes, sir. I obviously cannot see Katie.
I love how it defaults, right?
Yes.
What are the I'm going to ignore the sir and I'm just going to keep going.
Okay.
What are the things that I do to be immoral?
I don't know.
Give me some examples of moral actions.
I'm not a moralist.
All right. Morality.
Integrity.
What is integrity?
I'm sorry, I don't know what else to say.
Be moral.
Be a man, son.
I really like our discussion on morality and ethics.
And how I'm not really in the mood for a philosophical debate.
What do you like to talk about?
Nothing.
Wow.
Can you imagine? This is so nasty.
Is he
watching John Hughes films, this robot? Like, what's the shutdown here? Like, what's going on?
It's like a surly teen as the robot.
No sense of humor.
That's right. And, you know, Suri, it was apparently a big jerk.
As well, yeah. Well, I call her all kinds of names.
Well, she's fighting back now.
Really?
Yeah, there was a question.
She's not taking it.
Yeah, ask Suri, what is 0 divided by 0?
And she'll say, get
and
a
she
life.
She was like, you know, guess what? If you had 0 cookies and you had 0 friends and you divided those cookies.
What? I like her style.
And you divided those 0 cookies amongst the 0 friends, what would you get? And by the way, you don't have any friends. And she said, hey.
And by the way, you don't have. I know. I've seen the fact that, you know, you have no people in your contacts.
Yeah.
And so, you spend most of your time searching for foot porn.
So,
so there.
She was terrible. So this is where the robots are going.
Yeah. So that was Katie and Jaquetta in An Artificial Intelligence Machine Gets Testy with Its Programmer.
Yes.
Not bad.
End scene.
I liked it.
Cool.
I don't... What's unrealistic about this is that at no point did the robot say bitch or anything like that. Because it sounded like it would. You know? And I'm not in the mood for a philosophical debate. I'm not in the mood.
Not in the mood.
So what would you like to do then? Nothing. Right. I think that's pretty realistic. And that is my dramatic reading.
Very nice.
Starring Katie and Jaquetta.
Yes.
What do you have?
I have here advice.
Oh, it's awesome. So Advice on Advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that is unqualified.
And it stinks.
And we want to improve upon it by giving advice on that advice, hence hashtag advice on advice.
That's right.
So who's it from?
This one is from, oh gosh.
Eugene? Ms. Webb?
Dear Prudence.
Okay, Dear Prudence. Prudy in the house.
This was my favorite one. I read this.
Is there a full name Prudhomme? I thought that was a great name.
I don't know. I think it's just Prudence.
Prudence. Okay.
Prudence.
Prudence Prudhomme.
Okay. All right, here's the question. My husband, our three children and I recently went on vacation with my mother-in-law.
Okay.
All right.
Girl, that's on you. Really. That's your problem right there is my advice. Don't go.
Don't do that again.
Don't
do that. We provided the accommodations. My mother-in-law...
I love that we provide... You paid for the hotel?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
We provided the accommodations.
And the provisions. So they had, like, chocolate bars. I always...
Yes, provisions. Vittles.
Yeah.
Is what I think.
My mother-in-law tries to act more like our children's mother than a grandmother.
How is that?
Well, she loves our grandchildren, but she's very interfering, judgmental, and disrespectful to me and my husband.
She's a mother-in-law. That's classic.
That's what she's supposed to be doing.
She knows it better than you. She's already raised kids.
Right.
You know?
On this recent visit, she brought a children's book for our 5-year-old daughter that was missing the last 2 pages.
Are you kidding me?
The book was about a girl who visits her grandmother for the summer every year. My mother-in-law wrote an ending.
No, she did not.
For my daughter and said that the girl's parents died and that she got...
That is a death threat. And then, call the police.
And the girl's parents died and she got to live with her grandmother forever.
And there were cookies and cakes.
And it was written like a happy ending.
Because it was a happy ending for the grandmother.
When we confronted her away from the children that it was inappropriate, she blamed our 5-year-old, saying it was all her idea.
That sneaky little bitch. Rebecca.
I am so upset. I can't even look at this woman. And now she is suggesting that we get together again next month to go camping.
First of all, you have to keep that book forever.
Yeah.
Until the end of time. Because that is evidence. You know, if something tell her if something happens to us on this trip, I'm sending this book out to publishers.
Right. And yeah, you're going to be wearing orange for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Can you?
Orange is the new mother-in-law.
Right. Can you imagine her taking the time to, like...
She's a psycho!
Ripping out the pages and then rewriting the story.
Get her away from your children. You guys are going to wake up and there's going to be the grandmother and then the kids standing over you like children in the friggin' corn.
Yeah, right?
You know?
Then blaming the 5-year-old?
Yeah, it was her.
Okay. And the answer is, thank you for this entry in the worst mother-in-law.
Thank you. It's just start out, girl, run.
Yeah, that's it.
Gather up all your shiznit and be out.
And the worst mother-in-law of the year contest. Interfering, judgmental, and disrespectful mother-in-laws are common complaints, but...
Psycho mother-in-laws.
Yeah. It takes a certain kind of genius to come up with the idea of ripping out the final pages of a children's book and rewriting a happy ending about becoming an orphan.
Wow. It's the same kind of genius that runs through the mind of Hannibal Lecter.
Right. As usual, when you're dealing with an in-law violation, the first...
A violation?
Yes.
This is a death threat.
Yeah, I think that the first line of defense is that the blood relation have a serious talk.
Or is it blood sport is more like it. The blood relation. Okay, why is it?
So it's the husband that has to know.
Fine, but do you really think that? Think about people's relationships with their mothers. Mm-hmm. Do you really think that blood relation is the best person? The blood relation has been letting this shit fly his or her whole life.
Right.
It's time to get in there and literally drop that hammer.
Yeah. Well.
Before she does.
It's time for your husband to explain to his mother that while she obviously loves the child and vice versa, she has to do some serious rethinking about her behavior. He needs to explain that she may not be aware of it, but she constantly undermines the two of you as parents.
She doesn't know that she ripped out the last two pages of a book and created a completely different happy ending. Those kids are going to be doing a one-woman show about this later. Okay. One of those kids.
I hope that
book is still around.
Now she's gone off the rails entirely with a fantasy book ending in that refers to the joys of orphanhood.
Wow.
I think he should tell her.
Is that the new title? The Joy of Orphanhood?
I guess so.
Wow.
I think he should tell her that an extended summer get-together is on the ice this year. On the ice. On ice.
Oh, okay. Because that's a whole other story, when the parents fall through the ice in part two. I think every year,
the joy should be orphanhood on ice now.
Yes, on ice. Like, every year there should be a new book about how the parents die tragically.
Yeah. He can say the two of you are so steamed that you're going to go away as a family without including the in-laws. He can say that he hopes this hiatus gives her a chance to think about how to be a loving grandmother without being an undermining one.
But let's keep it in mind here that your mother has written a book in which not just your wife dies, you die. Her son.
Right.
Why is the son someone to go talk to this woman?
Right.
Show what you're talking to this woman.
She's prepping the child to get ready for this. This is a great thing.
If you show this to a police officer,
right.
Like, they might tell you.
Right.
You know? I'm like, this advice is horrible. Wherever this bitch is right now, you got to cut her out of your life. And you got to have a cease and desist.
Yeah.
I would definitely make a phone call and have this, like, written down in evidence. This is ridiculous. How would you feel if someone gave you a book in which you were killed at the end? And it was a happy ending.
It's awful.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
Why would you ever do that to somebody? That is insane.
And then just sit there and go, what? The 5-year-old told me to do it.
But the best part about it is that the mother-in-law is like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Like, she knew that they were going to see this book. She had a backup story. You'd be like, well, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
My grandchild asked me to do this book.
Yeah. So,
to change the
ending. Kids.
It's a cracked fairy tale. No. That's psycho. What about the father-in-law? Nothing.
No mention.
He's like, Helen's always been like that. She's been saying she's going to kill me since the day I met her. It doesn't matter. I got pamphlets.
I've got film strips. I've got a whole series.
Yes.
I have a trilogy.
Yes.
And about how I'm going to die.
They're thick volumes.
Yeah.
This is just a children's book. You're fine. You'll be lucky if you get poisoned. You know, nothing's going to happen to you.
I've got a PowerPoint presentation.
Oh my God, that's awful.
Yeah, ugh. Creepy.
So I wanted to bring up something here. It is July, mm-hmm. and there is something called Christmas in July.
I didn't know.
Which I'd heard about it, like, out there on the periphery, but I wasn't really sure about it. And I know that when I was growing up, some of my tacky or far-flung relatives would start doing their awful Christmas shopping mm-hmm. in July because it was cheaper to get things in July for people that you didn't give a shit about.
Okay.
So that's it. So anyway, it says it's a history of Christmas in July. It says here the festival is ascribed to a group of Irish tourists who went on a vacation in Sydney's Blue Mountains in the summer months of July 1980. Away from the summer temperatures in their country, they were overjoyed at the sight of snow there.
All right.
And then it is believed that they then convinced the proprietor of a local hotel to hold a party called Yule Fest. Yule Fest is not the same as Christmas, people.
Okay.
Yule Fest is a beer party piss up.
Okay, in July.
Yeah, keep in mind that these are Irish people on vacation.
Yeah.
So they're having a good time. They're already having a good time. Now they're on vacation. Idea was an instant hit and then caught on with the imagination of everyone there present. And by caught on, they mean that the local people were like, really? We can sell more shit to these people at the time of the year under the guise of, like, Christmas
in July. Fine.
So then, since then, the local business persons have made a unique festival. It's huge in Australia. People book halls, restaurants. They go on vacations this time. They have official advertised catered menus for Christmas in July, and things are booked up way in advance.
Again?
This is in Australia.
Oh.
Another party place.
Wow.
Right? They're sure.
Yeah.
They like to party. And we say that in a positive way. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough parties here in America. Most hotels...
And all of ours, we feel bad about ours.
Yeah, we feel bad about any party. I was surprised that, like, So it was just July 4th. Last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, so there were still fireworks going on somewhere in New York. And I was like, this is actually kind of awesome. Like, we're supposed to be, you know, celebrating. People should be in the streets. So basically, it's a kind of like a made-up holiday. Of course, some Christians were upset because they're saying, you know, it's a mockery. It's supposed to be commemorating, you know, the birth of Christ and all that. But then someone made a point that we don't know when that happened.
Right. They actually
so celebrate it whenever.
They say that Jesus was born in the summer anyway.
Yeah. It's a summer baby.
It's a summer baby.
So then I looked up, because I like the idea of a Festivus in July, which I thought would be interesting. We could air our grievances and not have to wait
until the Festivus, end of the year. Yeah.
We can get our beer can pole up in the middle of the year. So I looked up, what can you do for Christmas in July? They say here you should throw a party theme. So
a party theme?
Yeah, you have party themes. So they have like...
I love a theme party.
Summer fiesta, right? So they want you to make... It says start here with a 12-inch green styrofoam cone and then use toothpicks to attach vegetables like broccoli, cucumber, olives, cherry tomatoes, cauliflower, red and yellow peppers to create a Christmas tree. And then, I think this is from the Midwest.
All right.
Then make a cheese star and put that on the top. Serve it with dip.
All right.
That's not how I would celebrate
it. That's not how anyone should celebrate it. But, I mean, that sounds like a lovely... healthy dish.
It says here you could have Christmas on the beach. So someone had apparently some corporate offices have Christmas in July. Mm-hmm. This one had a Christmas under the sea. Under the sea always reminds me of like being in junior high and then being like, there's a theme. I'm like, it was under the sea in 1950s and Back to the Future. Why?
It's always under the sea when you're in junior high.
And it always looks like crap. Mm-hmm. It's like some streamers that are supposed to be seaweed.
Right.
So that's basically what this
is. What is that? It kind of makes you, want to take off your clothes?
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. We'll put two shells instead of a bra?
Yeah.
I have no idea. So you could do, it says here, they had a bar decorated like a giant clam.
All right.
With Corona beer and Sebastiani wine.
Oh.
It earlier says, too, I knew it was a classy party. During dinner, there's piano music, then there's a calypso band. It's just so bizarre. I think I have no problem with
honestly,
this.
Honestly, it sounds like a party. It doesn't sound like it's a...
Well, the thing is, we live in a culture where now we have to have some big excuse for a party. You want to party down?
Party down.
We don't wait.
Yeah.
We throw Hey You Know It things on the drop of a hat.
We do.
We don't need a special occasion.
Right.
Well, all we need is like some money and a bar.
A little time on our hands.
Right. So yeah, Christmas in July. It's a real thing. People, they also had an idea here to create a snowman, and this made me just want to gag. Cheese ball snowman.
Oh.
Fashion. Two cheese balls from 2 8-ounce packages of cream cheese.
When you start having to mold cheese with your hands,
Use raisins for the eyes, mouth, and buttons. Ew. Broken pretzels for the arm, fruit leather for the scarf, and a piece of carrot for the nose. Serve with crackers and mini bagels.
Ew.
I mean, it's just awful. They have games that you can play.
And then a knife goes into the snowman and traumatizes all the children
around. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you want to eat something like that? I don't know.
I don't think so.
They have a lot of different tips, too. You could do a traditional Christmas meal as well, or do, like, a beach theme. And it says offer drinks responsibly. How do you do that? Serve yourself and you be responsible.
Be responsible.
Yeah, just take everyone's fucking keys.
Yeah.
It says light cocktails and mocktails. If I go to a party where the only options are mocktails and light cocktails, I'm not going to be there very long.
We have a mocktail here.
It's just a drink. Like, it's just soda.
It's just juice.
It says in here...
Yeah, if you had a mocktail at your party, I probably wouldn't talk to you.
You probably wouldn't talk to me. Yeah. I don't know. It says stock the bar full, but limit the choice for mocktails and light cocktails.
Unless it was like a party for all pregnant people.
Yes.
That's all right.
You know those parties that I throw, the pregnant people's party. It says keep ice handy and low-calorie, high-moisture foods, such as raw vegetable strips and light dips with cheese and meat. These are digested slowly and slow down the alcohol absorption. What is going on? You don't want people to get drunk. Don't serve anything.
Yeah.
Don't invite me.
Let them deal with it themselves.
That party is asking to be spiked at the punch bowl.
That's right.
I've never done that before. As a kid, I used to always see it in teen movies. I'm like, great, when I get to be a teen, someone's going to
spike the punch.
They stopped having punch bowls by the time we were in high school.
That's right. They did.
Like, it wasn't happening anymore. So Christmas in July, or Festivus for the rest of us in July. I'll air some grievances. I will do that.
You can do those anytime.
Yeah.
You can air any grievance whenever you want.
What if I had a party and no one knew it was Festivus? I just started airing grievances. Would you jump in and be like, I got some.
I would. I would when I hear.
First of all, it's too damn humid in here.
It sure is.
Yes, in this party.
This party, it's too humid.
Would you complain about the party?
And the sun overhead is too bright.
And I'd be like, that's legitimate.
It is.
That's a legitimate, you know, aired grievance.
Yeah.
Or grievance. So what do you have?
We talk of all these parties and holidays and things. Every time there is a holiday, you know, everyone's trying to enjoy themselves and have a good time.
Yeah, we can't have that.
You put the news on and they're like, terror threats.
Yes,
every day there's a terror threat, especially when there's a holiday.
I'm immune to it now. Because do you remember, it's been terror threats for the past, like, decade or more.
Right, right. So,
Amber Alert.
I'm watching the news, and I just have it on. I'm doing things, and I hear Deputy Commissioner of the NYPD, John Miller. He's up there. He gets the podium, and click, click, everyone's listening to what the news he has about this.
Okay, what's the big news?
And he's talking about, terrorists could strike, and he says, he's trying to explain to us how what to look for, really.
Okay.
He said the ISIS call, as well as that of other terrorist
groups.
What's
that? Like, woo-woo!
That's where they got me. That's where
my ISIS call.
The ISIS call. That's why my head snapped. What is the
what
ISIS
is the call of ISIS? That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. It's a loon for us for some reason. My loon was more drunk than hers, but still. Woo-woo! If you hear that, everybody get down.
Yeah. All right. This, as well as other terrorist groups, has been to use what you have on hand. Mm-hmm. And that means if you can make a bomb, then you're a bomber. But if you can't...
If you can put on a hood...
Then you're a hood
then
wearer.
You're an American. Yeah.
But, if you can't use a gun, and if you can't find a gun, use a knife.
Are they telling us what to do?
And if you can't find a knife, then use a car.
Huh?
So he's saying this is the... Trying to explain, this is what they do. This is what ISIS and terror groups tell.
So what do we do?
No, but I like the progression. This is what got me. If you can make a bomb, you're a bomber.
Okay.
But if you don't have a bomb, then use a gun. If you don't have a gun...
You can use a knife.
But if you can't find a knife...
Then get in your car.
But who can't find a knife?
I don't know.
Can't find a knife, are you really going to have a car?
True. Like some kind of a knife. And then what? Was this the 4th of July?
If you don't have a car, then get a spoon.
But did they tell us what to do?
And if you can't find a spoon, get a pot holder.
Get a pot. If you can't find a pot holder, then just get some bounce.
And if you can't find some bounce.
Yes, you should have a look. Just woo. Just make the call.
That's the call.
But did they tell us how to, what we should do when someone comes at us with a bounce?
He's just saying.
You know? I'm serious. Just alarming people.
Just alarming people saying that they're going to use whatever they got.
Okay.
And that's what we're dealing with now. So nice and... I loved the progression.
I'm more concerned about the Klan. That was my big concern over the holiday weekend.
You know, and this is just like anybody. Whatever, if anyone wants to hurt somebody, they're going to use what they have on
them. Yes, you're going to improvise. Interesting, at a gay pride weekend, there was CNN was there. I don't know if you saw this. And they took a picture of a flag, and they said ISIS flag at gay pride march.
I saw this,
and it was actually just a flag that had butt plugs and dildos on it.
Yes.
That does not look like an ISIS flag.
No.
Does not the ISIS flag have some kind of, I don't know, Arabic writing on it?
It does have Arabic writing on it.
It was
a parody of the...
Yes!
But it had all sex toys on it.
If you looked even just a little bit, like I glanced at it for a second, I'm like, that's a dildo.
Yeah, yeah. And did you see the woman that covered the story? Like,
no.
Can you believe she would?
She thought it was actually an ISIS flag.
Yeah.
And she thought they were using dicks and things shaped like dicks.
She was like, this writing that's on the flag is obviously Arabic.
No. Was it just like, what did it say on the flag? Pride?
No, it just had the image.
So embarrassing. I hope that whoever put that up there got fired on CNN.
I hope so too.
I don't even know who's watching. Well, I guess you are in the background getting alarmed.
Drums, please.
Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
So speaking of untoward things, I have some hashtag penis news. The member on the move, dick updates, scrotum stories. So I thought this one was
quite a segment.
This is my segment. If you have a big penis or want to date well-endowed men, we found a dating site for you. So this is a website called 7 or Better for gentlemen who are packing 7 inches or more.
Just
Big dicks.
Yeah.
7 inches or more of a dick. This is for size queens, size kings, other people who are looking for large Johnsons. Okay. It says the size of a man's penis can be a sensitive subject. Good
sure
news.
Can.
That's the worst way to open this. Good news, then, for women whose perfect package would need a lot of wrapping. Dating sites specifically catering for men with big willies. And people
willies?
Who love them. This guy does. Katie Horwood for metro.co.uk.
How dare she? She should cease and desist.
Yeah.
Take away that name, Katie.
Johnson's. Take away the name Katie.
Yeah, because she don't anyone named Katie better not be saying Willie.
So 7 or better, it's for well-endowed men and potential gay.
Horribly on me.
Yeah, on you. the real Katie.
Yeah.
So it was founded by a guy called Steven Pasternak, and he said, I had the idea talking to a few female friends who were complaining about, and if you can get this, investing time in guys who then turned out to have small penises.
Aww,
how much is your time worth? Do you know what I mean? How much is your time worth that you can't get to know a human being?
Yeah.
And then you feel like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get those 3 hours at the bar back. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm... Or is it women who are like, well, we were dating for months.
Yeah.
And then I got there and it was like,
yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Oh, but still, I'm always, you know, the size of the penis doesn't matter. It's the whole package.
It's the whole pack. Apparently not for these... The women here said, his friend said, they all wish there was a site which listed penis size like it did hair color and height. So they actually make a good point for this, because if on dating sites they always make women put their height, they don't make you.
Yeah.
But like your
weight, build.
Your
yeah.
build, all yeah. that kind of stuff. And they're saying that this is left out. The site was launched in 2008 and it has 40,000 members. 7 or better is increasingly popular with both the straight and the gay community. All right.
Fine.
Perhaps highlighting the growing trend for internet daters who want to know everything about their potential dates. And then the guy adds, sex is a very important part of a relationship as much as it is for women and for men. It's not, why is it any less politically correct for people to want to know about penis size than it is for them to want to know about height, weight, or body type? I would say just, you got to go for it. Those things say almost nothing about a person.
Yes, yes.
And who is not going to be lying about that? Are you going to show up on the first date with a measuring tape? Or how about just a stick that's 6-7 inches long? you don't need a measuring tape, I'm sorry. You just need something that's 7 inches long.
Right, right. Or no, like from my fingertip to where on my wrist.
You just give it a quick, okay, you're in.
Yeah. But still, this is the thing with dating sites. It's like you know so much about a person, supposedly.
Supposedly, yeah.
And then you meet them. It's like you need to get to know people first. And that's the value of a person is
I don't even know what the average size penis is. I don't care. I don't know what a 7... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't care.
But this is... If that's what's really, really important to you, it's not just a dating website.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's something else.
There's something else.
There's something else going on.
If that's your main thing, that you have to find a 7-plus penis.
Well, they say that there are some dudes on here, and I really... I get the women who think they need to have a large penis, but according to the guy who founded the site, there are plenty of well-endowed men who can't find women to accommodate them. We all know that you could put, like, an entire arm in a vagina. Guys,
it's
come
like,
on.
Yeah, right. Yeah, these guys that complain. Like, I'm so big, and they're so terrified by my monsters.
By my huge penis. Like,
no, because
learn some anatomy, gentlemen.
Right.
A baby gets in there.
Yeah.
Unless you have a penis larger than a
baby.
Term baby.
Yeah.
Two, actually, because you can get two in there. Or
right.
three. Or Octomom. Unless you've got a penis larger than 8 babies, get away.
Yeah.
Get away. Right. I'm not interested.
Yeah, and you don't have to have
to have a good time. That's Katie Casimir. You don't have to have a giant penis to have a good time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Katie Casimir.
Katie Casimir. And I co-sign that.
Yeah.
You don't. Hashtag penis news.
Okay. Well, I have Tales from the Campfire.
Awesome. So Tales from the Campfire is a segment that we do where we find tales on the internet of myth and of mayhem, of horror,
of ghosts,
supernatural, folklore, fake lore, demons,
urban legends,
tokoloshe, everything.
Yeah, everything.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So Katie would like to ask you to
gather around, listen.
Yes, do so.
Gather around. This is called Conservative Ghost or... Man. So this
conservative
is,
ghost?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Dick Cheney.
Yeah. The author is a middle-aged adult.
Okay.
And he's from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Okay. So supposedly, before I moved in with my current roommate, he has this Confederate cuckoo clock he keeps hanging in his bedroom.
Okay. We've all had the you know, the roof has been blown off of that shit in the past couple weeks.
Yeah. It features a Confederate soldier riding a horse, brandishing a saber, and flying a Southern flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How come they always leave slaves out of this? Why don't a little guy come out and scurry? Yeah. A little guy come out trying to revolt or get free. I was just learning to read. Yeah. You know?
Every hour, a small set of cannons come out and fire off a few rounds. I know, right?
I'm not into any kind of military shit, I'm sorry.
No. He tells me one night that he and his wife are laying in bed when a figure of the soldier is literally thrown off the clock and hit a wall. So he's looking at the clock.
He's got a roommate? His roommate has a wife?
Well, now he has the roommate, but the roommate was saying when he was married before.
Oh, okay.
So his roommate got a divorce, apparently.
Okay. But probably over that damn clock.
Yeah, probably.
There's nothing worse than a cuckoo clock anyway.
But also, yeah, if you have like a Confederate clock, there's a whole multitude of problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues.
You have a lot of issues, so no surprise here.
The cuckoo part is the beginning.
Yeah.
Cuckoo might refer to the owner.
Yeah. At the time, I lived down the block, so I came by the house and checked the clock out. I kicked the wall, which was pretty solid.
Okay.
This is just...
He's just a professional paranormal investigator. Yeah.
The clock stayed in place. I checked the figure, which is mounted via a special clip. Mm-hmm. So unless someone with fingers pulled it off, working the clip, it wouldn't normally fall off, more or less be thrown a few feet.
Okay.
Fast forward a few years, my friend is getting divorced now and wants me to move in to help pay his mortgage. I agree, and when I move into his house, it's destroyed.
What? What's destroyed?
Yes. We spent a few days cleaning the house when we found this old... His house is destroyed?
I don't understand what's going on. People have problems with pronouns.
So we spent a few days cleaning the house when we found his old clock. I think it's neat. I love cuckoo clocks, so I hang it on the living
room. And I love the Confederacy. Because I like treason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I came,
and I hate freedom.
So I came home last night, and the date is 7/3/15. So
okay.
This is pretty. This clock has been hanging in the living room.
The day before Independence Day? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe the clock got free.
This clock has been hanging in the living room for about 2 months. When I came home, it's lying on the floor a few feet away from the spot I hung it.
Mm-hmm.
The anchor point's still firmly embedded in the wall. I inspect the clock, and it's now broken. I put it on the kitchen table and go into the basement to check my laundry. When I hear something hit the floor, upstairs I now discover the clock is on the floor. Jesus, someone really hates this clock.
Most people hate that clock.
Yeah, everyone hates the clock.
What are you talking
living
about?
Living and dead. They all hate the clock. It's now locked up and secured in a display case in the house.
People need... Now it has an even better place from which to view the craziness of this thing.
It's like...
What?
Of course it's an awful clock.
It's horrible.
It's a horrible clock, and anybody...
I'm like, has anyone in your house with some damn sense? You know?
No. So it's
that's the kind of stuff that if I went over to someone's house, I might just throw it on the floor.
Yeah.
If I saw, especially if it came, I'm sitting there, I'm having a good old time. All of a sudden I hear like, and I look up and a Confederate soldier comes out me and fires a cannon. Guess what?
Guess what? The thing is on the floor.
I've never done a roundhouse before and I'm not that tall, but I bet you I could get my foot up there. I would try. I would take a running leap from across the room and give it to Jason Statham. I'm not down with that shit.
No, I'm not
either.
She's
like, I go to someone's house and I see some Nazi shit peeing. I'm like, what is that, a swastika? Oh, I'm going to leave in a second, but first I'm going to burn that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and there were comments like, you know what this, and the whole debate about the Confederate flag
there's
went on.
What's the debate?
And there is no debate. There is no debate. It's a horrible,
and I always say, if I had a symbol like that in my culture that I found out was being used, like, it's like, fuck it, get a new one.
Yeah.
Do something else.
Yeah, who was it, John Stewart saying that you should just have a flag now of a pig on fire?
Yes!
Symbolizing barbecue, which is the nicest thing about the South.
Exactly. Or the nicest thing about the South for me is that I don't live in it. Where's that flag? It's a flag of me not being in it. Like, jeez! And that's your tale from Dirk Campfire. Oh, my God. So I wanted to go into a little bit beer news. Katie and I like a beer.
Yeah, we do.
And we like a beer. That's it. It says Hello Kitty beer, because you know I'm obsessed with Hello Kitty.
You are.
I love Hello Kitty.
I don't get it, but...
It says, after decorating the size of airplanes and beer bottles, it was only a matter of time before we saw the iconic Sanrio creation Hello Kitty make its way onto a beer can. So remember a couple of weeks ago I was joking about a Fanta-type beer?
Yes.
Boom. Right here, people. Hello Kitty has done it. It's the taste is everything you'd expect of Hello Kitty. Suffocatingly sweet, as if someone accidentally put a Fanta in your beer. Comes in 6 flavors, passion fruit, banana.
Oh, okay. You I like see? That. Yeah, yeah.
But this guy only could find lemon, lime, and peach. And said, if you don't read Chinese, you wouldn't even know it was a beer. I bet you it's this is the thing. In their culture, it's probably obvious.
Yeah.
When people see it, that it's a beer. I don't think any kids are like, hey!
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So they have brightly fruit-colored fruit trailing behind the can containing beer. Said he didn't mind the lemon-lime flavor. It was spritzy and slightly tart, but really, really sweet. I bet you black people would love this. They also say it's kind of like a Belgian fruit beer if you took out all the beer. So basically, this is like a...
That's a soda, then.
It's a really sweet soda.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it says, the guy says, I expect Hello Kitty beer to make a splash in Shanghai, where sugary versions of traditionally non-sweet items like beer, baguettes, and hot dogs have been huge hits.
Ew.
It's so weird because I feel like in our culture, we're obsessed with sweet. Mm-hmm. But apparently, we don't know dick
about sweets.
Because a sweet hot dog sounds crazy.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if I'd want that.
No, I've seen, they put like a pastry. And we'll put a hot dog in the pastry and then glaze it.
Have you had it?
I haven't had it, no.
What do you think about, because you eat meat. I no longer eat meat anymore, so I forgot what it tastes like. But are there any sweet, like, and
sweet
meat conversations? Sweet meat, y'all. Sweet meat.
Well, I think that, I don't know of many sweet meat combos, but now that we're talking about sweet meat, I think that we shouldn't
just keep saying sweet meat because it's funny. Sweet meat.
We should come up with sweet meat.
What about the melon, the bacon wrapped around the melon? I never understood that as a kid.
It's the prosciutto. It's the ham wrapped around the
melon. I don't even know
melon.
What it is. I'm like, the bacon wrapped around the melon?
No, it's just a...
Is that a sweet, like,
kind
meat?
Of. No, the meat's not sweet.
Okay, I don't know.
It's not. It's a salty ham.
But when
it's
you...
It's a piece of ham.
And do you like that?
It's all right.
It's okay. But the melon, actually, to be honest, is not that sweet.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking of something that's like a sugary... meat.
Yeah, you want a like a glaze.
Yeah, like a maple bacon or something like that. You don't want your regular old dry ass sweet meat. You want it with a nice glaze on it. All right.
Hey, you know what? Sweet meats.
Sweet meats.
We're coming out with it soon. Once we figure
meat.
It out.
Woo-woo-woo.
We'll work out the kinks.
That's it. If you see something, say something. People ask us, where is the Hey You Know It studio?
They do all the time, and we tell them it is Funkadelic Studios,
and it's in the crook of the arm of Times Square.
That's right, nestled. Loving
laying in the cut, chilling. Hey,
yeah, it's 209 Ooh. West 40th Street, fifth floor, and they have rehearsal space, recording space.
Yeah, and they have jams.
They have jams, and they usually have an open mic on a Saturday. You should check their schedule. They have jams and open mics for all ages. Sometimes they have it for women.
I think they have certain genres sometimes, and it's just a really awesome place. We record here, but you can do a lot of different things. So you can practice here. They do have professional recording stuff. They will help you with things. Yeah. Like they do everything.
They do everything, and they're really great people.
And
so,
they're nice to us.
Yeah, check out Funkadelic at funkadelicstudios.com.
Cool.
Hey, before I go jam at Funkadelic Studios, I listen to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, I see some Magic Mike stuff there. It looks like a calendar. I can't help myself. Magic Michael, as I refer to
Magic
him.
Michael.
It's his
I
grandmother.
Went to see this is kind of movies in a minute, but not really.
Oh, awesome. Katie is now going to perform for you the seminal movies in a minute, in which she gives you a movie that she's seen in a minute.
Yeah.
Go.
Magic Mike. XXL. It's the story of Magic Michael, the dancer. He's a little old now, and his friends are a little old, and nobody's really doing anything, but they decide that they're going to get
together.
They
have an 8-pack instead of 10.
They're going to have one last shebang, which is one final show where they really give it their all,
uh-huh.
and then figure out whatever the hell it is that they're going to do.
With their lives.
Yeah. And so they...
This is good. You got like 30 seconds left.
They take a road trip in an ice cream truck.
No, they don't.
In Georgia.
No, they don't. Bring sweet treats.
They do.
Sweet meat.
Sweet meat. And they stop by Jada Pinkett Smith's mansion, uh-huh. where she's got this whole, like, dancey sex club going on.
In her house?
In her house, yeah.
And then
they continue on to the stripper convention.
Stripperama.
And they put on one final show where they each showcase how they really want to dance. Because before, in the previous movie...
They were doing it the way Dickie Dallas wanted them to do it.
Yeah, but now they're doing their own. So they come up with their own song that they really like that makes them want to dance in a way that showcases what they really like to
do. The earnestness with which you are portraying this, I'm amazed. I'm blown away.
And in the end, everyone gets their dance,
uh-huh.
their special dance. I've never seen so many dollar bills in my life being flung.
They made it rain on a bitch.
They did. And
it didn't just drizzle. It was a downpour.
It was a downpour. And it was almost like the end of Rocky, where everyone's jumping around in G-strings at the end. So just, they're victorious.
Oh, wow.
Because they did it. They achieved their goal.
There's your minute.
There.
That's awesome. Oh my God. So you could only do it with like crappy stripper movies.
Yeah, I guess so. And I saw this with one of our guests
yes.
who has been on the show, Courtney W.
Awesome. I wish I had seen it with her. She's so awesome.
She's so awesome and so funny. And she is with Reductress, which is an online magazine, reductress.com.
Yeah.
And
which
hilarious.
Is a parody of women's magazines and
hilarious.
Women's sites.
So, so funny. So seeing it with her in Chelsea was one of the funniest things. So Magic Mike XXL did not disappoint.
Okay.
Much more dancing than the first one.
Wiener?
Oh, actually, no.
No? Not even
no
side?
No side wiener.
Wow.
But initially, the scene opens up with Magic Mike sitting on, like, a swing out by the beach.
No, he
and
didn't.
Immediately, everyone's like, take it off.
You know how that happens.
But with my ticket... I bought my ticket online, and with my ticket, they gave me a six-month Magic Mike calendar.
I have to see this.
So I printed
wow.
it out.
Wow. There are a lot of, like, are these men of color? Like, they're so tan in this picture.
There's two men of color.
Okay. You can't tell because they've tanned everyone yeah. to the point in the picture. Wow.
And they're amazing. All of them are
There's
amazing.
A lot of jeans, which I find weird. Did they rip the jeans off?
Yes, they did.
Okay. I just find men and just wearing jeans to be a weird, wow. Now it looks like, did Donald Glover dance?
He, no.
Please say no.
No, he sang.
Ooh. Did he sing while they were dancing?
Well, he did.
These himbos are in an ice cream truck looking all weird.
Yeah.
And thugged up.
They drove around in an ice cream truck. Yeah. Tricked out ice cream.
Look at Jada Pinkett.
Yeah.
Good for her. And so she is like kind of the pimp.
Yeah, kind of.
That's what I thought. And then they're all pointing to which way the beach is.
Yeah.
Wow. They look great, though.
They do. They really look good. And it's a great big screen movie. And
is the dancing good?
The dancing is very, very good.
The choreography is good. Because Katie actually went for the choreography.
I did. I did.
For the jazz dicks.
They were doing things. There were some, I tell you, the choreography and the stunts that they were doing.
Were they doing flips and stuff?
They were doing flips. There is a scene with Magic Mike in Jada Pinkett's place. And
okay.
I don't even know. I can't even explain to you what went on.
It was magical.
I was dizzy afterwards.
Wow. So this is really like high stakes stripping.
Yeah.
High stakes stripping.
It was their last shebang.
Wow. I like, so I guess they can't make another Magic Mike triple XL.
Oh, would love it.
That's awesome.
They did.
So I was, when Katie originally told me she went to see Magic Mike, I was like, you be, but now she said she'll see it again.
Yeah, so I'll see it with you.
Yeah, we'll try to get a posse together, and we'll maybe we can get some little white wine before.
Of course.
And we can go and, you know, act it out.
Scream at the, this is the one movie where you can scream at the screen.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I give it 5 screams.
I will... On a scale from whimper to scream, you get 5 screams.
Yeah.
I can't wait till this movie comes out with like Hedda Lettuce doing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's what we need. We need the stripping going on. We need strippers in front of the strippers.
Yes.
Doing what the strippers are doing.
Oh my God.
Like Point Break Live.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh.
Magic Mike. And that was an excellent movie. I can't even make fun of that movie in a minute.
You can't because I'm
it
so
away
on the points here.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. on the way here, at the very end, right before you, let's say, if you on the train, if you see something, say something. I'm like, what are you talking about?
If you see something suspicious, say something specific.
Yeah, exactly. This is New York City. And if I do see something, like one time years ago, Greg and I thought I saw something weird.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a terrorist thing. It was just, like, a weird thing on the train. And we told a cop, he's like, have you been drinking? I was like, well, yes, but. He's like, well,
yeah, right, right. So you can be shamed.
Anyone who comes up and says that they've seen something strange is immediately going to be suspected themselves.
Yeah, if you say
you saw something weird, like, look, I saw E.T. up on the one train. They're going to be like, ma'am, are you okay? You know what? Forget it. I said something. I saw something. I said something. Forget it.